we struggle once more to come to terms with yet another mass slaying. Las Vegas is to date the most serious instance of a lone gunman armed with a shocking array of weaponry, wreaking havoc on innocent bystanders. We now move through the rituals of political accusation and denial that I suspect will yet again result in no action. The truth is that the current impasse on guns is symptomatic of deeper problems in society. We are a people who now fear one another more than ever. We are all increasingly desensitized by our daily exposure to violence fueled by TV, movie, and video entertainment. The 24/7 news cycle beams the most atrocious violence from around the world into the heart of our living spaces. The political process now capitalizes on divide and rule, both engendering and exploiting our fears. All this fear drives some to embrace gun control as the best self-protection, while others embrace less restricted gun ownership as an answer to their anxieties around self-defense. The Episcopal Bishops United Against Gun Violence issued their statement on the 2nd of October. The full text of this statement appears in the text of the epistle below. But I'd like to highlight a number of points that the bishops make in their statement. Firstly, they ask us to pray for the victims, for their loved ones, and for all who attended the victims in the immediacy of the shooting, for the first responders who do so much to mitigate the awful effects of these shootings, and for the medical personnel who will labor for many days to save the wounded. They ask us to enter into the sorrow of those who are most deeply affected by our country's cripplingly frequent outbursts of lethal gun violence. And they ask us to look into our own hearts and examine the ways in which we are culpable or complicit in the gun violence that surrounds us every day. The bishops ask us as Christians to be called to engage in the debates that now shape how Americans live and die. They ask us to enter into the probing conversation on issues of gun violence, even though solutions continue to elude us. And they point out that the failure to find satisfactory solutions that safeguard the lives of our people is a matter for repentance and for shame. The bishops remind us that our country is feasting on anger that fuels rage, alienation, and loneliness. From the White House to the halls of Congress, to our own towns and perhaps at our own tables, we nurse grudges and resentments rather than cultivating the respect, concern, and affection that each of us owes to the other. That our leaders should be speaking to us of reconciliation and the justice that must precede anything that stokes flames of division and mistrust. We must, as a nation, they say, embrace prayerful resistance before our worst impulses consume us. The bishops conclude their statement with the prayer attributed to St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not seek so much as to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Each week, I end the epistle with the words, "See you in church this coming Sunday." It takes a community to make a church, and I'm inviting everyone to be more mindful that our community is impoverished when we are absent from regular worship. So, see you in church on Sunday.